بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده يا ربنا لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك ولعظيم سلطانك سبحانك اللهم لا أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له
بالعزة والقدرة والهيبة والجبروت والملكوت والكبرياء والعظمة وأشهد أن محمدا صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم عبده ورسوله صفيه وخليله حبيبه ومصطفاه بعثه الله بشيرا ونذيرا وداعيا إليه بإذنه وسراجا منيرا فأشهد وربي أنه بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الغمة وتركنا على المحجة ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك وصلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الطيبين الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه صلاة وسلاما دائمين متلازمين إلى يوم الدين أما بعد الله سبحانه وتعالى says in the Holy Quran وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون I have not created the jinn and the ins except for my worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse in Surah An-Nisa, وَاعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not associating partners with Him, جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ. The word ibadah has many definitions given by various Muslim scholars. One such definition is that which has been given by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah, where he says, Ibadah is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and is pleased with, whether it is the action of the heart, the tongue, or the limbs. From this we deduce that the sole and main aim of ibadah is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to obediently submit to Him jalla jalaluhu. Always make pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala your priority while performing ibadah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you, you will enjoy life full of bliss. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a hadith al-Qudsi narrated by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, talking about the righteous slaves, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّهُ وَلَئِنْ إِسْتَعَاذَنِي لَأُعِيذَنَّهُ If the righteous slaves prays to me, and asks for something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will provide for him that which he has asked for. And if he takes refuge in me, then I will surely protect him. It is not wrong to have the intention of being blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in return for your obedience to him. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ Remember me and I will remember you in return. Remember me and I will remember you by forgiving your sins, fulfilling your wishes, relieving you of your pain and so on. Therefore, the highest rank of ibadah is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the main purpose of pleasing Him jalla jalaluhu. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi says, worship is the utmost degree of love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while accompanied by surrendering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibadah is not restricted to rituals and individualistic rites. This is a very narrow, limited, and impotent meaning of ibadah, which is far from the vast and comprehensive meaning given to it by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibadah broadly denotes submitting to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lowering yourself, and accepting to be led by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all that which He has ordered jalla jalaluhu and all that which He has forbidden subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, we can say the whole life of a believer revolves around ibadah, and there is nothing which is out of ibadah. As a Muslim, your whole life should be ibadah. قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين. Your life should be obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you should exist to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and submit to His will jalla jalaluhu. Therefore, we can say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained ibadah on us, not because He is in need of His slaves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in any need of His servants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. And whoever disbelieves, refuses to accept the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from any need of mankind. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of our worship. He is not in need of our good deeds. The benefits of these good deeds are for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ أَسَاءَ فَعَلَيْهَا وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. If you do good deeds, then the benefits of those good deeds will be for you. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ أَسَاءَ فَعَلَيْهَا. And whoever does bad deeds, then the punishment of the bad effect of those deeds will befall on him only. Then if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of His servants, then why do we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Someone might ask himself, why do I need to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There are so many reasons for that, but just to mention a few. The first one is that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because He deserves to be worshipped jalla jalaluhu. He is the owner, the creator. He is your king subhanahu wa ta'ala. He deserves to be worshipped. It's a right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on His slaves. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, حق الله على العباد أن يعبدوه ولا يشركوا به شيئا. The right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on His servants is that they worship Him jalla jalaluhu without associating partners with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second reason why you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worshipping Allah is a way of saying thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the many blessings He has showered on us, and that too for free. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a lot of bounties. Then we worship Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are thanking Him for that. When Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam why he stood long nights in prayer, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Oh Aisha, should I not be a servant who thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not only by words, it should be by actions as well, by pleasing Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third reason why you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that we are not self-sufficient. We always need the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot stand on our own. We need the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything that we do and we aspire for. That is why among the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, Allahumma la takilni ila nafsi tarfata'in. Oh Allah, do not make me dependent on myself for even as a little as a blink of an eye. We always need the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we face a problem, we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can relieve us of the pain that we are going through. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ وَيَجْعَلُكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ الْأَرْضِ أَإِلَهٌ مَعَ اللَّهِ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. And is He not the best, the one who answers the desperate one when he calls upon Him jalla jalaluhu? أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ and removes all evil, وَيَجْعَلُكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ الْأَرْضِ and He makes you the inheritors of the earth, generation after generation. Is there any deity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Little do they know. أَيْلَهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. The fourth reason is that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that we can lead a decent and blessed life in this world and in the hereafter as well. We just said that ibadah is not restricted to rituals and rites only. It encompasses all spheres of life. So when we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we choose the best way of life. For example, obedience to parents is a form of worship. This preserves the rights of parents. Being good to neighbors is a form of ibadah. This strengthens social ties. Abstaining from bad acts like drinking alcohol, gambling, etc. is a form of worship. And this one develops one's morality. Hence, when we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we become morally upright and we preserve and observe the social fabrics. So ibadah is for our own benefit. We are the ones who needs to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so as to attain success in this world and in the hereafter. Ibadah is ordained on believers at all times, right from the age of puberty till death. وَاعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. But there are certain times when it's more recommended to stick to ibadah. One such time is the time of fitna, when there are a lot of temptations, when there are a lot of problems, when people are in a state of ghafla. Today we live in a world where people are so obsessed with material gains, material aspects of life. People seem to be in a state of ghafla, which is one of the illness of the heart. Ghafla means to be in a state of, to be neglectful, heedless, and to intentionally turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a very dangerous disease which has a negative impact on the spiritual health of a person, because it brings the love and attention to this world, removing the striving for the hereafter, for the akhirah. It's one of the worst diseases for the human heart to contract with. When a person is in the state of negligence, in the state of ghafla, he doesn't repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sins which he commits. He hardly sees his wrongdoings. A person should repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whenever he commits a sin, whenever he makes a mistake, he should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised to forgive his servants whenever they come back to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if you do this sin again and again, you should never despair. You should never lose hope. Turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he will surely forgive all your sins. Then so being in ghafla is a very dangerous situation. And one of the reasons for falling into that is forgetting akhirah. When a person forgets akhirah, he dips himself into a state of ghafla, a state of negligence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ. The hour is nearing. The day of Qiyamah is drawing nearer. And the people have turned away in their negligence. The only thing which wakes up the people who are in this state of ghafla is when the angel of death descends upon them to take their souls. That is when they wake up. That is when they realize that what they were doing was totally uncalled for, was totally wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيدُ وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ ذَلِكَ يَوْمُ الْوَعِيدِ وَجَاءَتْ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَعَهَا سَائِقٌ وَشَهِيدٌ لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِنْ هَذَا فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. The intoxication of death will bring the truth to you. And that's what you used to avoid. ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيدٌ وَنُفِقَ فِي الصُّورِ ذَلِكَ يَوْمُ الْوَعِيدِ. And the trumpet will be blown. And that is the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will carry out the threats. وَجَاءَتْ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَعَهَا سَائِقٌ وَشَهِيدٌ. And every soul will come that day. There will be with it a driver, an angel which will drive it to their place of judgment. And another angel which will testify against his deeds. كل نفس معها سائق وشهيد. Then it will be said to that person who was in a state of negligence in this world, لقد كنت في غفلة من هذا. You are in a state of unmindfulness about this and the happenings of this day. فكشفنا عنك غطاءك. Today we have removed from you the veil which was obstructing from you to see the reality, and your sight is very sharp. فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. So forgetting akhirah is one of the reasons which makes a person to be in a state of negligence. A believer should constantly remember the day of akhirah. This boosts the believer's iman and ensures that he continuously prepares for that big day. Another reason for falling into ghafla is abandoning or minimizing dhikr, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the greatest deeds in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. All you who have believed, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all you who believe. A clear indication that remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the fine attributes of the believers. The Mufassirun said the word dhikring the verse does not mean only the words of tasbih or tahmid. It also includes the five daily prayers. You should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that the people of Jannah will regret about one thing only. And this shows how dhikr is very great and important. Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu arda narrated in the hadith in Bayhaqi, classified as Hassan by Imam al-Suyuti, that Rasulullah said, the only thing that the people of paradise will regret about is an hour that passed them by in which they didn't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes his slaves who are in constant remembrance, in constant dhikr in Surah Al-Imran. And he says, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار ربنا إنك من تدخل النار فقد أخزيته وما للظالمين من أنصار. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in these verses, indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, in the altering of night and day, are signs for the people of understanding. لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Who are the people of understanding? الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا. They are the ones who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether they are standing, sitting or lying on their sides. And they think of the creation of the heavens and the earth. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Then they say, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. Our Lord, you have not created this thing, these things, that is the heavens and the earth, aimless. There is an aim for this creation. سُبْحَانَكَ exalted are you, فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Protect us and save us from the punishment of hell. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ مَنْ تُدْخِلِ النَّارَ فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ. Oh, our Lord, whoever you admit into the hellfire, you have surely disgraced that person. وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ. The wrongdoers, the zalimun, will have no helpers who will help them. Will help them on the day of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those ones who remember Him constantly are the people of understanding. They are the ones who look at the signs which are eminent in the universe, that point out to, though silently, but in a silence is stronger than words, to the existence of the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a very great deed. And neglecting that makes a person to be in a state of ghafla, heedlessness. There is no good deed except that dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a condition for its validity, as Imam Abu Bakr ibn al-Arabi says. He says that if a person does ibadah, salah, sawm, sadaqah, without remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart, then his ibadah is incomplete. And this shows that the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the best deeds in Islam. Dhikr is so great that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Muhammad salawatu rabbi wa salamu alayhi to remember him always. وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ تَضَرُّعًا وَخِيفًا وَدُونَ الْجَهْرِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْآصَالِ وَلَا تَكُمْ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam to do dhikr constantly. وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ. Remember your Lord within yourself. in humility and in fear in the morning and in the evening. ولا تكن من الغافلين, and don't be among those who have neglected their Lord جل جلاله. Therefore, one of the reasons for being in a state of ghafla is failing to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are three forms or three ways of doing dhikr, as ulama have mentioned in the different books of fiqh. The first form of doing dhikr is doing dhikr by the tongue with full concentration of the heart. This is the highest rank of doing dhikr, and it is the form with greatest rewards. The second way of doing dhikr is doing dhikr by the heart without pronouncing the words of dhikr. The person does dhikr quietly and silently without the realization of those who are around him. This form of dhikr ranks the second in excellence. And the third way of doing dhikr is by the way of tongue, the tongue only, with less or zero concentration of the heart. This is the third form of doing dhikr and the type with the least rewards. And this seems to be the most common form of dhikr. The person pronounces the words of dhikr, the tasbih and tahmid and salah ala nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he is absent-minded. This form of dhikr has rewards, less rewards, but the rewards are not zero. Ibn Hajar says that the condition for doing this type of dhikr is to pronounce the words correctly. You pronounce the words of dhikr correctly. We cannot say that doing dhikr only by the tongue without the concentration of the heart does not have any benefits. We can't say that. There are some benefits in that as well. One of those benefits is that when you do dhikr constantly, then you are training your tongue to always pronounce the words of dhikr, and that's a very good deed to do. When a man came to Rasulullah and said, "Ya Rasulullah, the optional deeds have become so much on me and I can't carry out all of them. So show me a deed which I can stick to, and then I will reap a lot of rewards." Rasulullah said, "Make sure that you always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by your tongue. La yazalu lisanuka ratban min dhikrillah." So therefore we say that doing dhikr by the tongue with full concentration of the heart is beyond any doubt the best form of dhikr. But if the person does dhikr by the tongue only, without concentration of the heart, then he will get some rewards as well. We cannot say that because he is not concentrating on what he is saying, he will not get any rewards. We can't say that. Let us now try to see some of the extra benefits of doing ibadah during the time of fitna, during the time of negligence and ghafla. Today we live in a world where people are obsessed with material gains. So they are very poor in performing ibadah, all of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all. The first extra benefit for doing ibadah during the time of fitna, during the time of temptations, problems, is that you will get a lot of rewards, very great rewards. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam equates the rewards of ibadah during the time of fitna to the reward of hijrah. Rasulullah said, "Al-ibadatu fil harj ka hijratin ilayya." When you do ibadah during the time of harj, harj means the time of fitna, the time of temptations and problems, then you will get rewards as if you have migrated to Rasulullah at the early stage of Islam. The reward of hijrah is very great. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the reward of hijrah in the Quran, where he says, "Alladhina amanu wa hajaru wa jahadu fi sabilillahi bi amwalihim wa anfusihim a'zamu darajatan 'inda Allah wa ulaika humul faizun." Those who have believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the early stage of Islam, and then they did hijrah, immigrated for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, striving in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they are the ones with the highest ranks in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are the ones who will attain success in this world and in the hereafter. Hijrah is highly regarded in Islam because it not only reshaped the socially and politically the Arabian Peninsula, but it also had its impact on the other civilizations. So Rasulullah says, when you do ibadah at the time of fitna, then you will get the rewards equal to the rewards of doing hijrah at the early stage of Islam. Rasulullah says in another narration, emphasizing on the importance of doing ibadah when people neglect it, Rasulullah says, "Inna min waraikum ayyam as-sabr." Ahead of you, he's telling the companions, ahead of you there will be days of patience. The one who is patient during those days, that is on his religion, on his faith, is like the one who is grasping on a hot coal. Because during that time of fitna, the people will neglect the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you act on the teachings of Islam, you may be ridiculed for that, or you might even be hated for doing that. So it needs a lot of patience to be steadfast on your faith despite the challenges. And Rasulullah ﷺ continues and says, the one who does good deeds during those trying moments, during those hard days, will get the rewards of 50 men. One person doing good deeds will get the rewards equal to the rewards of 50 men or 50 people. Then the companions asked Rasulullah ﷺ, the 50 people are 50 among them? Rasulullah ﷺ said, no, he will get the rewards of 50 people among you, the Sahaba, among you, the companions of Rasulullah ﷺ. The hadith is in Abu Dawud, classified as Sahih by Shaykh al-Bari rahimahullah. It's very important to clarify here that we don't understand from the hadith there are some members of the Ummah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi who are more superior to the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu. But some later members of this Ummah might do good deeds which will be greater in rewards because the circumstances will be different. The times of Sahaba and our times today are different. People today might be undergoing through temptations, and overcoming that is undoubtedly very difficult. So if you do good deeds, you will get so great rewards, but that one does not mean that you are superior to the companions of Rasulullah ﷺ. During their time, when they were doing those good deeds, they had helpers, people who used to help them and encourage them. And Rasulullah ﷺ was also living among them, salawatu rabbi wa salamu alayhi. But in our times today, the situation is different. So when a person sticks to the teachings of Islam and does good deeds, then he has to endure and go through a lot of challenges. That is why his rewards are very great. The second aspect, which shows the uniqueness of sticking to ibadah during the times of fitna, is that you become among the very few who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who are closer to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala when most people are not working hard in ibadah. Take Qiyamul Layl as an example for that. The rewards in Qiyamul Layl are so great. And one of the reasons for that is that it occurs in a time when most people are not indulging in ibadah. The third benefit you might get for doing ibadah during the time of fitna is that establishing the teachings of Islam at a time when Islam and its followers seem to be aliens or the strangers will give you protection from fitna which may befall upon the people. The ibadah will be a shield for you against all evil. This is because you will maintain strong relations with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He will reward you by protecting you from anything which might make you deviate from the right path of worshipping Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, it's a very great deed to do ibadah always, but especially at the times when people are in a state of negligence and ghafla. And I would like to mention 3 points before I conclude my talk. The first one is to say something about those things which can help you perform ibadah during hard times. Number one is seeking the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam supplicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is the Prophet of Allah. But still he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help him perform salah. Rabbi ja'alni muqima salati wa min dhurriyati. Oh Allah, make me be able to perform salah and my offsprings as well. So the first way is to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable you to do those good deeds. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also told Mu'adh ibn Jabal, Ya Mu'adh inni yuhibbuk. Oh Mu'adh, I love you. Never leave to say after every salah, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadati. Oh Allah, help me to thank you, to remember you, and to establish ibadah in the best possible way. So the first way of doing ibadah is supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Him to help you to carry out ibadah. The second way which can help you is to combat the desires of your soul and push it to the right path and to the path of ibadah. At the beginning it will be a bit difficult, but finally it will be easy for you and you will enjoy it. The third way is to choose your companions and friends wisely. Choose friends who will remind you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who will remind you of virtues and not vices. The fourth way is to read the biographies of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, so that you can get to know how they used to work hard in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their stories will inspire you. The second thing I would like to clarify is that I am not saying that the bad times which Rasulullah mentioned, which will come before the day of Qiyamah, are our times today. I am not saying that. But I am saying there are some similarities between those times which Rasulullah talked about and our times today. For example, Rasulullah said during the times of fitna, people will be ignorant about their religion. And today most Muslims are not versed with the teachings of Islam, they are not well versed with that. Rasulullah said during those times, unjust killing will spread. And today, day in, day out, we see innocent blood being shed. And so on. There are only similarities. But I am not saying that the bad times which Rasulullah talked about are our times today. It's our era today. I'm not saying that. The third thing is that ibadah is a very wide topic. The ulama have written volumes of books about ibadah. So I urge all and sundry to closely study the topic of ibadah, because it's a very important topic. Today some people may say that a certain group so and so is out of the fold of Islam and have fallen into the trap of shirk. It's a very dangerous ruling. You are saying that Muslims are mushrikeen. You are saying that there is a group of Muslims who have fallen into the trap of shirk. That is a very dangerous ruling to make. So you have to learn ibadah keenly, so that you can know the separating line between tawheed and shirk. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. And by that I conclude the topic. Whatever I have said right is not because of my knowledge, but by the will and guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever wrong I have said is from myself and shaitan. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me, and after that I apologize to all of you. وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُخَالِفَكُمْ إِلَى مَا أَنْهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ إِنْ أُرِيدُ إِلَّا الْإِصْلَاحَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُ وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَإِلَيْهِ أُنِيبُ أُحِبُّ الصَّالِحِينَ وَلَسْتُ مِنْهُمْ لعلي أننا لديهم شفاعة وأكره من تجارته المعاصي ولو كنا سواء في البضاعة. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. وصلى الله على محمد وصحبه وآله، والحمد لله رب العالمين.